Okay, so here we are at the bottom of Chaf Vav Amud Beis 26b, one line up from the bottom of the page. Pirchei Kohuna Ish Kesuso Ba'aretz. Right, it says that the young Kohanim who were in the Beis Hamokot, who were sleeping in this chamber of the fire overnight, they would sleep on the ground, and each one would be with his clothing on the ground. So ask the Gemara, Mai Hasam Kari Lahu Rovim. Earlier in the Mishnah, the young Kohanim were called Rovim, which literally means kids. Hachi Kari Lahu Pirchei Kohuna. And here they're called the young flowers of the Kohuna. It sounds like we're talking about the same group of kids. So why are they called Rovim and then called Pirchei? Amri, so they said, it's true. Hasam Dilamatu Lamevet Avoda. Earlier, where we're talking about a group of kids of Kohanim who are so young that they're not even at the point where they're doing Avoda yet, meaning they're kids who are standing guard outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but they're not actually doing the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Kukari Lahu Rovim. So they're called Rovim, which means kids. It denotes a younger group of Kohanim. But Hacha here, where it's talking about the Kohanim who are sleeping on the floor of the Beis HaMokad, and presumably these kids are—they're not bar mitzvah yet, but they're somewhat older kids, and they're old enough to be able to do the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Karilahu pirchei. So they are called pirchei kahuna. They're called the young flowers of the Kohanim. Again, the Mefarshim say that they are bar mitzvah in this particular case, but you know, they're still young kids. They're just past bar mitzvah, so they're doing avoda, but they're referred to as pirchei, you know, the young adults, so to speak. Okay. Tanan Hasam, we learned in Maseches Nidos, Bishloshim Mekamos HaKohanim Sham BeBeis HaMikdash, just like our Mishnah starts off talking about the three places where the Kohanim would stand guard of the Beis HaMikdash, BeBeis HaTinas, Ubeis Hanitzos, Ubeis Hamokah, the same three places that are delineated in our Mishnah. V'halevi'im b'chof aleph mekomos. And then the Mishnah in Midos goes on to add that the Levi'im would stand guard in 21 different places. And it goes on to delineate where the 21 places were that the Levi'im would stand guard. Chamisha, chamisha shari harabayis. There would be five Kohanim standing guard at the five gates of the Harabayis, of the Temple Mount. Dalit al dalit pinoso mi bifnim. Four Kohanim at the four corners on the inside of the wall around the Harabayis. Hey al hey shari azara. Five Levim standing guard at the five gates to the azara, to the courtyard. Vidalit al dalit pinoso mi bachutz. And four Levim standing at the four corners on the outside. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain why is it that the four Levim who were guarding in the Harabayis would be standing inside in the interior of the Harabayis, whereas the four Levim who were guarding the four corners of the Azara, of the courtyard, were standing outside, right outside the Azara. So in any case, so we've already had 18 Levim listed, and then Echad Belishkas HaKarbon, one Levi would be guarding in the chamber where the Karbonos were kept. Echad Belishkas HaParoches, one would be one Levi would be standing in the chamber of the Paroches, the chamber where the Paroches, the curtain, was woven. V'Echad Achari Beis HaKaporos, and one Levi was standing behind the Kodesh HaKodashim, all of the way in the west, sort of behind the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So that brings us to a sum total of 21. Mino ani mile. How do we know that the Levim were standing in 21 different places? Amar Rav Yehuda Misur v'Amri Lav Masisa Tana. We learned as follows. Diksiv, there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that says as follows. Lemizrach ha-Levim shisha. On the eastern side, the number of Levim were six. Latzafona la-yom arba'a. To the north, facing the sun, there were four. La negba layom arba'a. To the south, facing the sun, four. So that brings you to a sum total of 14. V'la asupim shnayim shnayim. At the asupim, at the thresholds or the doorposts, there were two, which sounds like there were four. So in other words, 14 plus 4 is 18. Le parbar to the area Lama'arav, the area called the Parbar, which the Gemara is going to explain later on what that means, on the west, Arba'a Lemesila, four at the end, right? So if we're up to 18, so that brings us to a sum total of 22. And Shnayim LaParbar, two at the Parbar, so that seems to be a sum total of 24. So in other words, it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that delineates where the Levium would be standing, and you count it up, and it comes out to 24. The only problem is, we just said that there are only 21 Levium standing in different places. So Amri, they said, Hani Chavdalet Havu. Wait a minute, that's 24 that you mentioned in the pasuk. So Amar Abai, Hachi Kamar Lasufim Shnayim, Shnayim. So Abai says, so let's first of all knock off two. When it says Lasupim, that at the thresholds there were Shnayim, Shnayim, there were two and two. So the way to read that, says Abaye, is not that there were two and two, i.e. four, but La'asupim Shnayim, at the thresholds which were two, in other words, two thresholds, Shnayim, there were two Levium. So we've now knocked down 22, we've now knocked down, instead of 24, we can read the pasuk in such a way that there were 22 Levium. Ay, fekti gemara, the gemara asks, akati esretre havu? Ay, okay, but that leaves us still 22, we're supposed to get 21. So heach de parbar chad hava, right? Really, says the gemara, there was only one Levi guarding at the Parbar, right? The area which, again, as we're going to see, was all the way in the west, behind the Kodesh HaKodashim. There was only one. The Pasuk mentions two, La Parbar, Shnayim La Parbar, the Pasuk had said. So says the Gemara, Achrino B'tzavsehu Da'azov Yosef Gabe. Right? The other guy wasn't really guarding. The other guy was there for companionship, to keep this Levi company. He was just going back and forth with him. Why did this Levi need company? Because this Levi was standing all the way outside at the far western end of the Beis HaMikdash. He was lonely. He was left by himself. It could be a little bit dangerous. So they appointed another guy with him, really just to keep him company. But officially, that guy wasn't part of the 21 Leviim who were standing watch. My La Parbar, what's the meaning of the word La Parbar? Amar Rabba Barba Shelo, Kamando Amar Kalape Bar. It's La Parbar is like facing outside, right? So in other words, and that's because this person who was stationed at the Parbar was stationed all the way at the western end of the Beis HaMikdash, facing outside, sort of at the extremities of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's one way of explaining the pasuk. Even though the pasuk seems to speak of 24 different Levium, it's really, 21 Levium, if you know how to read the pasuk a little bit more creatively. Alternatively, you can say, really, when the pasuk speaks of 24 different Levium, it means 24 different Levium. Kidiksiv, just as it says. But tlasa minayu de kohanim, three of those 24 are really kohanim, the esrin v'chad de Levium, and 21 of the Levium. So it's 24 is the sum total of everyone standing guard. Three Kohanim, 21 Levium. Ay, v'ha'ha'cha Levium u'diksiv. But the Pasuk says Levium, so how can you tell me that it's really Levium and Kohanim? So answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This follows the position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Da'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, b'chav dalet makomos, nikru Kohanim Levium. That the 24 different places in Tanakh where the Kohanim are called Levium, is the echad mehem, and one example thereof is the pasuk in Yechezkel, "Vakohanim halevim b'nei tzadok." The Kohanim, the Levium, who are children of tzadok. Again, Kohanim, after all, are Levium as well. They are b'nei Levi. So, in other words, when it talks about the 24 Levium standing guard in the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, it can include three Kohanim. So we're good in terms of the pasuk in Divrei Hayom being a source for the three Kohanim as well as the 21 Levium standing guard of the Beis HaMikdash. We continue. Chamisha, chamisha shari ha'arbayis, ve'arba abar pinoso mitocho, hey el hey shari azar, ve'abar abar pinoso mibachutz. Right? The Mishnah earlier had said, the Mishnah Midos had said earlier that there were, of these Levim who were standing guard, the four Levim standing guard at the corners of the ha'arbayis were inside the wall of the ha'arbayis. The four Levim who were standing guard at the four corners of the Azar of the courtyard stood guard right outside the courtyard. So ask the Gemara, Mashna Harabais Davdinu Mitocho. Why is it when it came to the Harabais, the Temple Mount, that the Levim would stand guard inside. And why is it when it comes to the courtyard that they would stand outside of the courtyard itself? So explains the Gemara, Amri, we said, Har Habayis, when it comes to the Har Habayis, the Tamau Boy Mesiv, if the person, the Levi who's standing watch, gets tired and wants to sit down, Yosef, he's allowed to sit down in the Har Habayis, Amrinan Mitocho, so we say that he should stand guard inside the Har Habayis. Azara, but when it comes to the courtyard, the Tamau Boy Mesiv, Lomotzi Yosef, when it comes to the Azara, the courtyard, if the Levi gets tired and wants to sit down in the courtyard, he's unable to do so. He's not allowed to sit down in the courtyard. Why is he not allowed to sit down in the courtyard? The Amar Mar, because we learn Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara L'Malchei Beis David B'Levad. The only ones who are allowed to sit in the courtyard are kings who are descendants of the house of David. So therefore, Amrinu Mibachot. So we say that let him stand watch outside, because if he stands watch outside, that way at least he can sit down if he wants to get tired. If he becomes tired, again, we want to take the considerations. We want to be considerate to the Levim who are standing guard. Another idea. Amar Mar Heal Heal Sharei Azara. Right, we learned in the Mishnah that there were five Levim who were standing guard at the five different gates of the Azara of the courtyard. Ask the Gemara, Vehei Sha'arim Hu Dehavi Ba'Azara? What do you mean? There were five gates in the Azara, in the courtyard? Ramini. But we learned the following Mishnah, which is also a Mishnah in Midos, Shiva Sha'arim Hayu Ba'Azara. There were seven gates in the courtyard. Gimel Batzafon v'Gimel Badaram. Three in the north, three in the south, v'Echad b'Mizrach, and one in the east. So what are you telling me that there were five gates in the courtyard? There were actually seven gates in the courtyard. So Abaye's answer is Trei Minayu Lo Tzrichi Shimur. Two out of those seven gates did not require guarding. In other words, there were seven gates, three on the north and three on the south. The middle gate on both the north and the southern side did not require a Levi to be there to guard, because since they had Levium guarding at the two gates that were at the extremities, the extreme part of the north and the extreme part of the south, you know, in both directions, so the middle gate was automatically protective. So yes, there were seven gates, but only five that actually required guarding. Rava gives a different answer. He says, Tanoihi. It's actually a debate between the Tanoim as to how many gates there were in the Azar, in the courtyard. The Tanya, because we learned it in Braise. So, Ein Pochsin, Yid Gimel Gizbarim. There were no fewer than 13 managers in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishiva Amarkalim, and seven supervisors. Rav Nassan says, Ein Pochsin Mishlosha Asar Gizbarim. There were no fewer than 13 managers. Keneged Shlosha Asar Sha'arim. Because the 13 managers are supposed to correspond to the 13 gates around the 13 gates in the Beis HaMikdash. So Dal Chamisha Dehar HaBayis, how do you get to 13 gates? If you take away the five gates which we know surrounded the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, Pashu Tzmanya the Azara. So you're left with eight gates in the courtyard. So in other words, Nosson holds that there are eight gates in the courtyard. Alma Ikotana Da'omar Tzmanya Havu. So says Rava, if you add all of this up, it comes out that there are three different opinions as to how many gates there were in the Azara. You have Reb Nosson who says that there were eight. You have the Tana of one Mishnah in Midos who says that there were seven. And you have a Tana of another Mishnah in Midos who says there were five. So there was no consensus on how many gates there were in the Azara. It's fascinating, by the way. I mean, the Mishnayos were written not that long after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And yet, there was this lack of clarity as to how many gates there actually were going into the Azar, going into the courtyard, even really just a few generations after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But in any case, you know, yes, there was this lack of clarity as to how many gates there were. Lo hayu shein mevigdei kodesh, right? We continue citing the line for the Mishnah that says that when the Kohanim would go to sleep in the Beis HaMokod, in the chamber with the fire overnight, they wouldn't sleep in their big day kahuna, they wouldn't sleep in their priestly garments, rather they would take them off, and they would cover themselves with their weekday garments. So says the Gemara, Sheinahu Delo, the implication of the Mishnah is that they weren't allowed to sleep in these holy garments, avalhiluch mahalchim, but they were allowed to walk around or do something else in the big day kahuna. What's the difference, right? So if a kohen were to sleep in the big day kahuna, that would be particularly disrespectful, because he might pass gas in his sleep while wearing the big day kahuna. That would be disrespectful. But, you know, to walk around the big day kahuna, even when he's not doing the avodah, even when he's not doing the divine service, so that, the implication of the Mishnah is, would be totally okay. Shamas mina, you see from here, big day kahuna nitnu lehenos bahem, that one is allowed to derive benefit from the big day kahuna, from the priestly clothing, even when you're not doing the avodah. So Omri's, we say, no. Hu adin dafilu hilach namilo. Really, you're not allowed to just walk around in the big day kahuna if you're not doing avodah in them. V'horik tani lo hayu yishenim. So why does the Mishnah focus on the fact that they wouldn't sleep in them? Not to tell you that you couldn't sleep in them, but you could do other things with them. No. Bishum deboi lem is safer. The point was to tell you what it says later on, namely, eloposhtim akaplu manichin osan tachas rosheya. That they would take, you know, what would they do when they wouldn't sleep in the big day kahuna? They would put the big day kahuna underneath their heads as a pillow while they were sleeping. So therefore, k'tani reishanami lo hayu yishenim. So that's why the focus in the beginning of the Mishnah is that they wouldn't sleep with them, rather they take them off and use them as a pillow. So ask the Gemara, wait a minute. V'ha'gufa kokasha. But that still doesn't, that still seems to imply that you're allowed to make use of the big day kahuna. Because umanichin osan tachas rosheyen, if it says that they could take the big day kahuna and use them as pillows underneath their heads, shmamina big day kahuna nidla henos bahem. That implies that you are allowed to derive benefit from the big day kahuna. So answers the Gemara, Eimo neged rosheyem. What the Mishnah means to say is that not that they would use them as pillows underneath their heads, but they would put the rolled up big day kahuna next to their heads. They weren't actually deriving any benefit from them. Amar Rav Papa, so says Rav Papa, Shema Mino, you see from here that tefillin min atzad sharyon, that when you go to sleep at night, you can take off your tefillin and put them next to your head. Right, again, they didn't have many storage space areas. They didn't keep their tefillin in shul like we do. And remember, they wore their tefillin the whole day. So what did you do when you went to sleep at night? You took off the tefillin. You basically take them off and you put them at the side next to your head. So you're allowed to do that. V'lo chayshin and dimo migander v'nafil alayu. And we're not worried that you'll turn over in your sleep and, you know, fall on the tefillin. Right? Because if we're not worried that you're going to turn over and sleep and fall on the big day kahuna, the big day kahuna are holy just like the tefillin are holy. So in both cases, we don't worry about you turning over and sleep and rolling on top of them. So says the Gemara, Hachinam mistabra de keneged rosheyem. By the way, it makes sense for other reasons that when the Mishnah says that they would put the big day kahuna under their heads, it really means that they'd put them next to their heads. The Omar tachas rosheyem. If you were to say that you'd put them under your head, literally, nehid nitnu lehenos bohem, granted, maybe it's true that you can have hana, you can have benefit from the big day kahuna, but tefik lemishom yisur de kilayim, it should still be also to put the big day kahuna under your head because of the problem of kilayim, of shatnez. Why the problem of shatnez? Because according to some opinions, as we're going to see in a moment, the avnet, the belt of the kohen was made up of wool and linen. So if the avnet of the kohen was indeed made up of wool and linen, so it would be a problem of shatnez to rest the big day kahuna under your head as a pillow, even if it wouldn't be a problem of making use of the big day kahuna. So hani chalaman damar avnet, we turn over the page to Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Hani chalaman damar avnet shel kohen gadol, lo zeu avnet shel kohen hedyod. If you say that the avnet of the kohen gadol was not the same of the avnet of a regular kohen, the avnet of the kohen gadol, the belt of the kohen gadol had shatnez, as is explicit in the pasuk, but the avnet of the kohen, of the regular kohen, did not. Fine. So then it's not a shatnez problem. El olamanda amar avneto shel kohen gadol zeu avneto shel kohen gadol shel kohen hedyot zeu avneto shel kohen gadol. But if you say that just as the avnet, the belt of the kohen gadol had shatnez, so to the avnet of the regular kohen had shatnez, my ikal amemar, how will you resolve the issue of shatnez, which would take place if the kohen were to rest his head on this makeshift pillow that includes the avnet? The avnet is shatnez, so obviously you didn't rest his head on the pillow. V'chiteima, and if you'll tell me that kilayim ba'aliyo levisha hu de'asar, that the only time there's a problem of shatnez is if you actually wear it or you put it on top of you as a blanket. But putting the shatnez underneath you or using it as a pillow is okay. That's not true. Vatanya, we learned it a brisa. Lo yale olecha, aval atomatziu tachtecha. Granted, the pasuk says that shatnez should not be placed on top of you, but technically speaking, you can put it underneath you. Aval amru chachamim, but the chachamim said asur lasos kein. You shouldn't put the kilayim, the shatnez, underneath you. Shematikarich nima achas al besaro, lest one of the threads of the shatnez come up and touch your flesh directly, touch your body directly, then you're benefiting from the shatnez. V'chitema demafsik midi, and if you'll tell me, so what? So, you know, I'll put something between my body and the shatnez. So, you know, in this particular case, the kohanim are lying down to sleep wearing some kind of pajamas, you know, so maybe the shatnez of the avnate will not come into contact with their bodies directly. That still doesn't help. Even if you have ten blankets, one on top of another, v'kilayim tachtein, at the very, very bottom, is a blanket that's made out of shatnez, you know, like the princess and the pea. So aser lishan aleihem, you're still not allowed to sleep on top of these mattresses, on top of these blankets. In other words, that's the gzera that Rabbanon made. You're not allowed to lie on top of shatnez, even with a hefsek, even with an interruption in between. Right? Ela shma mina neged rasheim. So from all of this, you see that the big day kahuna were not placed under the heads of the kohanim, because A, it would be a problem with big day kahuna, with being nene, from having hana from the big day kahuna, and B, it would be a problem with shatnez. So they put it next to their heads, not underneath their heads directly. Viboyisema, alternatively you can say, ba'osan she'ein bohen kilayim. Maybe they did put them underneath their heads, but they put the other big day kahuna, the four big day kahuna, the avnet is only one of them, so the other three big day kahuna they put under their heads, and even if the avnet was shatnez, so they put that one on, they put on the side, so it wouldn't be a problem of kilayim. Rav Ashi offers another explanation. He says, big day kahuna kashin hain, the big day kahuna, the kohanim's garments were stiff. The Amar Rav Huna b'Reidi Rav Yeshua honam to gamda denara sharya. Because they're stiff, they're not subject to the prohibition of kilayim. As Rav Huna b'Reidi Rav Yeshua said, a hard felt that comes from the city of Narosh is permissible, meaning something which is hard is not going to be subject to the laws against kilayim. So that's yet another way of explaining why there wasn't a shatnez problem for the kohanim to put their heads down on the avnate, even if you want to say that their avnate was shatnez. The next number of lines in the Gemara are in parentheses. We have a tradition that if something is in parentheses, we have the right to skip it. So we're going to skip. The best way to cover ground is to skip. Okay, so we now are down, halfway down the page. Yira keri le'echad mehem. The Mishnah had said that if one of the Kohanim became a Baal Keri, he had an emission of semen overnight, so he would go through one of the underground tunnels of the Beis HaMikdash, where there was an underground mikvah, and he would immerse there. This supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Mechilos Nolins Kadshu. Rabbi Yochanan said that the numerous underground tunnels, which were underneath the Beis HaMikdash, were not sanctified with the Kedusha of the Mikdash, and that's why the Baal Keri is able to utilize one of these tunnels. Well, Baal Keri Mishtaleh Achutz L'Shem Achanos. And a Baal Keri, somebody who had an emission, is sent outside of two machanos, literally two camps, meaning he can't be in the Beis HaMikdash itself, but he can't even be on the Har HaBayis, and that's why, you know, in the morning, he's going to leave as soon as he can, because of the fact that he has become a Baal Keri. Vaner is Dalkin Mikan Umikan. We continue in the Mishnah's description of this underground tunnel. It says that there were candles burning on either side, and that as part of the complex that existed underneath the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Beis HaKiseh, there was a restroom, and it was a Beis HaKiseh Shel Kavod. It was a Beis HaKisei that had dignity associated with it. What was the dignity of this Beis HaKisei? That if somebody was using it, you wouldn't go in and use it as well. Again, their concept of, for us, that's obvious, you wouldn't go into a toilet stall if somebody else was there. For them, though, the Beis HaKisei was just a large area where people went and did what they had to do. So it wouldn't necessarily have been unusual in those days for multiple people to be using it all at once. So in that regard, the Gemara tells this following story. Rav Safra Havayasa Beis HaKisei, it once happened that Rav Safra was sitting in the restroom, in the privy. Also, Rebbe Abba Nochar Lei, Rebbe Abba went and he made a noise. You know, he was outside the Beis HaKisei, he made a noise to see if anyone was using the Beis HaKisei. Omar Lei, Rav Safra said, Lei Omar, come on in. It's a party in here in the Beis HaKisei. You can come on in here too, even though I'm here already. Basa Denofik, Rebbe Abba did not go in. After Rav Safra left the Beis HaKisei, Amar Lei Rabbi Abba, so Rabbi Abba said to him, Ad kan lo sleikus l'so'ir, gomar milei de seir. You haven't even made your way to the land of seir. You've already started imitating the actions of seir. What does that mean? So seir, we know, is one of the other names for Esav. In this particular case, Rabbi Abba is remarking on the fact that Rav Safra was in Bavel, where the Persians, the Parthians, who ruled over Bavel at that time, were known for their tznius, they were known for their modesty, even in the Beis HaKisei. In contrast, Eretz Yisrael was ruled over by the Romans, who were descendants of Esav, descendants of Seir, and they were not particularly known for their modesty in the Beis HaKisei. So Reb Abba says sarcastically to Reb Safra, you haven't even left Bavel to come to Seir, to come to Eretz Yisrael, and you're already learning from the poor manners of the Romans, who don't know how to conduct themselves with tznius in the Beis HaKisei, in the restroom. Lav hochitznan, says Rabbi Abba to Rav Safra, didn't we learn in the Mishnah in Talmud? Mitzo no, b'yodua she'esham adam, right? So in the Beis HaMikdash, what was unique and special about the bathroom was that if you found it locked, you knew that somebody was there, and you wouldn't go in. So lemeimer de lo miboy le lemeo. So the implication of that is that it's not polite, it's not appropriate to go into the bathroom when someone else is using it. So what are you doing inviting me into the bathroom when you're already there? Rav Safra Sovar. Rav Safra, for his part, why did he do that? He knew the Mishnah. So he felt dilma mesukanu. Maybe Reb Abba had to go, and it would have been dangerous for him to wait longer. Kedetani Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, "Amud hachozer, maybe it's adam day hadroken. If a person holds in number two, it causes a person to suffer from hadroken, a sickness of the stomach." And silo nachozer, if a person holds back from urinating, maybe it's adam lede yarkon, it brings a person to yarkon, to jaundice, right? So in other words, you could be polite all you want, but I'm worrying about people's health, says Rav Safra to Rav Abba. Amalei Rav Lechia Berei, v'chein amalei Rav Huna l'Rabba Berei. So Rav Chia and Rav Huna both said to their sons, chashich takin nafshicha, v'kadim takin nafshicha. Take care of your needs late at night, and take care of your needs early in the morning. Kihechi delo tirchak, so that during the day you don't have to distance yourself and go running around looking for a place to take care of your needs. Meaning, again, they would urinate multiple times during the day, but it sounds like in terms of defecating, they try to do once in the morning, once in the evening before going to bed, and for the average person that sufficed, most of the time, unless the person was sick. And again, in a day and age before indoor plumbing, they tried to just, clean out the system in that way so that they wouldn't get stuck later on during the day. Tuv vigale, when you defecate, first squat down, sit down, and then expose yourself. Kasei vikum, and when you get up, cover yourself and then stand up. In other words, again, with their robes, it was easier than what we have, but you should try to expose yourself as little as possible. Shtofu shasi, rinse out a cup before you drink from it, and shtofu achis, and rinse it out and put it down after you finish drinking. Kshaato shosemayim, when you drink water and you want to give the rest of the cup
to your Talmud, Shvoch mehem, pour off some of the water first. And only afterwards give it to your Talmud to drink, right? In other words, again, some of these hygienic practices are obvious to us today, but that's because we just have so many cups. You know, it's easy to have an extra cup, a disposable cup. They didn't have so many cups. So in other words, if you had a cup and you drank half of it, you wanted to give it to somebody else, pour out a little bit of the water first, you know, so that it should cleanse the water that came into contact with your mouth directly should be cleansed. They had a social distancing, right? Kidatanu, as we learned in a brayso, lo yishta adam mai v'itein l'talmido, right? A person should not drink water and then just give the rest of the cup to his talmid. Elim kein shafach mehem, unless you first poured out some of them first. U'maisa be'echad sheshasa mai v'lo shafach mehem. It once happened that somebody drank water and did not pour out a little bit before giving it to his talmid. V'nasin l'talmido. And he gave it to his Talmud. Va'osa Talmud istinis haya. That Talmud was very delicate, and he v'lo ratzel ishtos. He didn't want to drink from the water which had been drunk from the first one. Umeis b'tzama, and he ended up dying with thirst. So why didn't he just pour a little bit out? Because he was a Talmud, and a Talmud in front of his Rebbe to pour out water where his Rebbe had not poured out the water, he felt that would be disrespectful. So out of the sense of respect, but coupled with his sense of, call it hygiene, call it finickiness, he ended up just dying of thirst. But also Shah Amru, at that time they said, that a Rebbe is not allowed to drink water and just give it directly to the Talmud. Elo imkein shafach mehen. Unless he first pours out a little bit of water first and then gives it to the Talmud, and therefore Rav Ashi Omer, Rav Ashi said, commenting on this, Hilka Chai Talmid the Shafich Kamei Rabbe, a Talmud who is given water from his Rebbe and pours out some in front of the Rebbe, Les Be Mishum Apkirusa, is not considered to be disrespect to the Rebbe. The Talmud is just trying to balance the needs of hygiene with his need to drink, you know. So you can't stand on ceremony when it comes to health. Very, 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 very relevant. Komile lo tiflot, right? The Amoraim also told their sons, don't, if you eat something which is going to cause a buildup of saliva in your mouth, don't spit it out, ba'ape rabach, in front of your Rebbe. You know, you can swallow it. It's not appropriate. It's not respectful. Bar mikara v'daisa, unless you ate squash or porridge. The kipsila shel abar dami, because the squash and porridge are indigestible as a rod of lead, and if you're going to try to swallow it, you're going to have a very, very hard time. Again, don't stand on ceremony when it comes to things that pertain to your health, even if it seems a little bit disrespectful in front of your Rebbe. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow night, Be'ezus Hashem, at 8:30. I want to wish everybody a wonderful evening and a good Chodesh.